Thank you, thank you, thank you, especially as that has been the hymn for our stewardship theme this year, Take My Life and Let It Be, in the last month or so. We continue in that series on this Stewardship Dedication Sunday. This is the last sermon in the series, Take My Life and Let It Be. And today's message is entitled, Numbering Our Days. And I'll share with you an alternative title that was given to me late this week that I think also works well. There are three readings this morning. The first is from the psalmist and then going to 2 Kings about a story of one of the kings of Israel. And then we'll turn to the Gospel of Luke. And so let's give our attention first in the readings of God's Word to Psalm 90. I would encourage you to read all of Psalm 90 this afternoon. It's a wonderful psalm. And this is simply verse 12. The psalmist finally prays to God, "So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom." And then in 2 Kings, we hear in the first six verses the story of King Hezekiah and his illness. Beginning at verse 1, chapter 20, "In those days Hezekiah became sick and was at the point of death. The prophet Isaiah, son of Amoz, came to him and said to him, 'Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die. You shall not recover.' Then Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and prayed to the Lord. 'Remember now, O Lord, I implore you, how I have walked with you in faithfulness, with a whole heart, and have done what is good in your sight.' Hezekiah wept bitterly. Before Isaiah had gone out of the middle court, the word of the Lord came to him, 'Turn back and say to Hezekiah, prince of my people, thus says the Lord, the God of your ancestor David, I have heard your prayer. I have seen your tears. Indeed, I will heal you. On the third day you shall go up to the house of the Lord. I will add 15 years to your life. I will deliver you and this city out of the hand of the king of Assyria. I will defend this city for my own sake and for my servant David's sake.'" And then turning to the Gospel of Luke, this is Jesus teaching here toward the end of that chapter. Jesus says at verse 32, "Do not be afraid, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell your possessions and give alms. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out, an unfailing treasure in heaven, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let us pray as we come to the message this morning. O Lord, as we come before you in this hour of worship, and before we come to this act of rededication, silence within us any voice but your own. In Christ's name, your servants are listening. Amen. There was a University of Southern California professor, Leo Biscaglia. He died in the late 90s, but he taught a course each year at USC entitled Love 101. It was a very popular course. All the students wanted to get in it. And he gave the students in that class only one paper to write. And the paper he gave them to write, he said, should be entitled, "If you had only 5 days to live, what would you do and with whom?" Well, he reported that he received some really great papers out of that class from his students. And on every paper, he wrote a lot of comments. But finally, at the end of the paper, he wrote one personal note to every student. And that note said to them, "If you feel this strongly about these things, why don't you do them now? Why don't you do them now? Why wait?" Well, this idea leads us back to the story this morning through the centuries to the palace chamber of the king of Israel, King Hezekiah. The prophet Isaiah came to the king's bedchamber and said to him, "Thus says the Lord, set your house in order, for you shall die." And we read in that passage that King Hezekiah turned his face to the wall and he prayed to God. And the result of that is that God answered Hezekiah's prayer and he gave him 15 more days to live. I had an experience just this last week. I was walking at Countryside Mall, had to go get something over there, and I saw two of our members at the mall that day walking. And so we had a little conversation, and the man was a regular worshiper here, but not a member. But he said to me, "Pastor, guess what I bought today?" And I said, "I have no idea." He said, "I bought a countdown clock." I said, "What's that?" He said, "Well," he said, "I'm just turning 80, and I'd like to live until I'm 95, and so that clock counts down 15 more years until I'm 95, the days, the hours, the minutes, the seconds." And I thought, that's very interesting. And then I looked up countdown clocks. People use countdown clocks for a lot of things, the birth of a child, going on a vacation, waiting on retirement, you name it, countdown clocks are in. But these experiences, they raise a question that I want to raise with you this morning. And here's the question. How would you, if you knew you had only a short time to live, not being morbid, but if you knew you had a short time to live, how would you set your house in order? What would you do, and with whom? I ask this question this morning as lovingly as I can to you, because part of our faith tells us, and Scripture tells us as well, it reminds us of the limits of our lives. And that sort of honesty, it can benefit us. It can bring about in us a creative urgency to live more constructively and to do those things that are really important to do and do them now. I was watching, as many of you may have been doing last Sunday afternoon, I don't do this all the time, but I was watching the Tampa Bay Bucks play football on TV, and it was a pretty good game. And finally, with 40 seconds left, they scored against the Houston Texans, and I thought, well, that's it. The game's over, only 40 seconds left. But that was not the case, as many of you know. Unfortunately, the Texans went all the way down the field with only 40 seconds left, and they won the game. I was so disappointed. But it reminded me, and it should remind all of us, that a lot can be accomplished in a very short time. The psalmist this morning points this out to us, life's shortness. And then the psalmist prays to God, saying, "Teach us to number our days." And why? The psalmist continues, "So we may have a heart of wisdom." That's good advice, to number our days and to gain wisdom. For even with all the knowledge that we gained in life, knowledge is one thing, but wisdom is something altogether different in making decisions. And it's important to have that kind of wisdom before our days run out. One of the values of realizing our mortality is that we are able to receive a new respect and a deep awe and a deep wonder about who God is and what God's plan is for all of us. The psalmist prays, "Teach me to number my days," because he knows that God wants to also teach us how to measure our days, so that we might acknowledge forever our need for God. We would be nothing without God. God is eternal and God is all-powerful. Many of you may recall that there's an old hymn that goes this way: "We blossom and flourish like leaves on a tree, and wither and perish, but naught changeth thee." This is a great theme of our Reformed Presbyterian heritage, that of the majesty, the power, the otherness, the transcendence, if you will, of God, who God is. And that's always worth remembering. We may, over time in our lives, become deep and wise people, especially when we come to fully understand the brevity of our days, that our days are indeed numbered. I had a telephone call this past week. I talked to my younger brother, Danny, almost every day, and he asked me about the sermon this week, and so I was trying to explain what we've been doing the last 4 weeks with this theme, Take My Life and Let It Be, and I was explaining today's message, and he said, "Brother, you are preaching a country song that I know." And I don't listen to country music, but he went on. He said, "There's a song that you need to listen to by Tim McGraw, and the song is entitled, Live Like You Were Dying." And I said, "That's great. That would be a great title for this sermon, Live Like You Were Dying." Another way to say it is this: what if we had just 1 year to live? How well Jesus of Nazareth knew this. He knew he only had a few years to live. You can tell it when you read the Gospels. It seemed that Jesus lived every day to its fullest with urgency and conviction, without anxiety. He was hammering out his teaching and healing everywhere he went. He made every day count for eternity. And so come along with me just for just a few more minutes and ask yourself this hypothetical question. What if I had just 1 year to live? Well, first of all, would you be able to say, "I will fill every day with responsibility worthy of God"? Would that be the first thing you say? I wouldn't, in other words, just cut out and run out on life and all my relationships. That reminds me of the story of the man who won the lottery, and immediately he quit his job, he left, and he began perpetual vacationing. He automatically got out of work and his responsibilities. But the question comes, what gives meaning to living then if we have no responsibilities and no sense of a need to give back, but just to do things for ourselves? What's the purpose to all of that? Or more seriously, so many people just seem to be unable to face life with its stresses and spend most of their time trying to escape in one way or another. But if you had only 1 year to live, I hope you would not just try to escape. I hope you would especially not try to escape your responsibilities. I've been reading about Francis of Assisi again lately, and I mentioned him last Sunday. He made an interesting statement once when he was working out in his garden, it seems. Someone walked up to him and asked Francis, they said, "Francis, if you were suddenly to learn that you were going to die at the shadows of today's sunset, what would you do?" And St. Francis said, "I would finish hoeing my garden." That's what faith is all about. To calmly finish the ordinary tasks and the responsibilities that God has given us. To get yourself together and to do it with flair, to do it with dignity, not to panic and not to have anxiety. We are called, you see, by God to be faithful in the little things and the responsibilities that He has called us to do. Isn't that what you would do if you just had 1 year to live? If so, then why not live that way now? Secondly, if I had just 1 year to live, I would stress relationships with people far more than things. There would be some people I would want to look straight in the eye and say, "I love you." Have you ever thought about that? I'm reminded about the story of the rather strict, straight-laced New England farmer. He said to his wife in their 50th anniversary, he said to her, "Margaret, all these years I have had a real fondness for you, and there have been several occasions when I was tempted to tell you so." And of course, the answer to that story is, why wait? Why hesitate to tell people how much you enjoy them, how much they mean to you? How blessed we have been in our lives, and how seldom we stop to appreciate those who help us along our way. We should. Still others, perhaps you might say, I would wish to express some apology or humbly say to someone, I'm sorry. Under the pressure of our days being numbered, some honest feelings need to be expressed. Well, note with me then, thirdly, if I had just 1 year to live, I would concentrate on those values that are eternal and lasting. It would be priority time, right? To focus on those values that really are important. How sure I would be that I did not give first-rate attention to third-rate causes. All of our life, we make choices. There is a decision today about what our level of giving will be, or in the next month when we're ready to turn in a pledge card about what we will dedicate to God in our silver and our gold, as the song says. But we also come forward today to renew our commitments to God in touching the baptismal font or the waters in the baptismal font and remember that God has a claim on our lives as His children. There's so much stuff, there's so much paraphernalia that goes along with life that often distracts us from our relationship with God. And today is a day to push all that aside and put God first. In our decisions, it's almost never just between good and bad. It's usually between better and what's best. And that's often hard to make a decision about. But here's the wisdom that God teaches us in Luke. And that truth and that wisdom that God teaches in the passage we read in Luke is that money does not buy happiness. Jesus said, make purses for yourselves. I love this. Make purses for yourselves that do not wear out. An unfailing treasure in heaven, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Well, then note with me fourthly, we're almost finished. If I had 1 year to live, I would give priority to God in my relationship with Him. This is true about the story of King Hezekiah. When he heard he was about to die, he turned to the wall and prayed. And God heard his prayer. There might be, if we read that story carefully, some unfinished business that Hezekiah needed to finish. I had a friend who was battling cancer some years ago in Sarasota, and he finally said to me, he said, Chris, he said, you know what? He said, I'm not new to prayer, but nowadays I have been praying on my knees. God has laid hold of my life in a way that I never thought possible. And God is molding me in these days. And God is lately reshaping me to His glory. I too, if I had 1 year to live, I would want to embrace a clearer vision of just who God is. Who God is and who I am in God's plan. And finally, if I knew that I were to live but one more year, I would want to hold on to the triumph of the resurrection. That's what the New Testament announces, triumph. You can almost see it in the light of the disciples' eyes as they went out, not just locally, but to all the world in their day and time to tell the good news of Jesus Christ. In the pagan world in which they lived, many people simply looked at death and looked at it with gloom or resignation or even terror. But Christians, because of the teaching of Jesus, had something new to embrace. They faced dying, those early Christians, in its most appalling forms. At the stake, in the arena, lit as torches to burn on hillsides, and crucified on crosses. And yet they faced death with a song on their lips. They did. They conquered death in the ancient world because they knew how to die in it, and they knew how to live, and they knew how to proclaim the triumph that is ours in the resurrection. I've read about the catacombs in Rome. Over 500,000 Christians are buried there. And among the inscriptions on the walls of those catacombs, those early Christians wrote many notes of victory, but not one lament. Not one lament. If I had but 1 year to live, I would want to face death with a sense of triumph. Triumph. The Lord God reigns forever. And so for today, here we are. We come forward here in just a few moments in an act of rededication. We have been dealing with this hypothetical question today about the number of days that we have. And I want to say to you, I'm not in a hurry. None of us are in a hurry for our days to run out. As a matter of fact, when I look at life sometimes, I want to cry out and say, "Oh world, I love you. There is so much that is good and beautiful about our world that we often do not celebrate. Life can be very, very good at times, and we need to remember that too. And yet none of us but God knows how much time we truly have. And that being the case, why don't we commit our lives anew to Him today?" Let us pray as we come to the font. O Lord our God, as we now come to the waters of baptism, in which you claimed us so long ago, with water you sustain all living things, and so today renew us and make us yours. Help us, O God, to be responsible in all the tasks that you give us. Help us to stress relationships more than things with honest feelings. Help us, O God, to concentrate on the values that never age. And help us to give our primary attention to you and to live in the triumph of life over death. We come to you now, in Jesus' name, amen. I invite you to come.